or not. Anything on hospitality, on hostility, on your own experiences? Anything that you've heard from Eric Mason or myself? Yeah, question is, what does Acts Ministries do? It's like I planted you there. Acts Ministries is the mercy ministry of 10th Presbyterian Church. And as Eric said earlier, the whole church should be participating in the mercy. My job, I think, is always to put myself out of a job by equipping people to be merciful and compassionate as they go about their business. But Acts started in 1984 when a Bible study at 10th saw a homeless person sleeping on the steps of the church. And they were empowered by God to think about ministering to a neighbor, one in particular, but then how can we minister to those who are around the church? So it started with homeless outreach, and now we have six, seven different ministries, which include nursing home ministry, prison ministry in the Federal Detention Center and the Youth Study Center, and I've just become a chaplain with the 9th Police District here. So it's ministry. We're trying to be citizens of the kingdom, integrating ourselves in society as well. The particular ministries that Acts began with pretty much come out of Matthew 25. So, you know, helping people with food and clothing and visiting the sick and visiting those who are in prison. But it's more of an empowerment of relationships so that there doesn't have to be anything formal. And we should be bringing the gospel, bringing hospitality, showing who we are in Christ, where we live, where we work, to our unbelieving friends and family. But this is a head start. And a lot of what we do, we provide hospitality. All of our homeless outreach, we come together and eat. But that just brings people to the table. And what we want is to be able to be introduced to people and then to be able to follow up with them. Talking about hostility and hospitality, so many of our homeless guests and others don't see us as friendly initially. But once they see that we have indeed created a safe place for them to come, because most of our guests have been churched, but they can't go back to those churches, because they're stigmatized, they're not treated fairly, they're not treated equally, and they're not treated lovingly. But what we want to do is make 10th safe so anyone can come in, anyone at all, and to see the love of Christ. So someone comes and we have lunch together. It's the same thing that if you invited a stranger into your home and you had tea and cake, or coffee and donuts or something, you would establish something unique there. And just by establishing a relationship, you'd remove the stigma. That person would no longer be a stranger. When you see that person on the street, that relationship would be completely different because you have treated them with respect and integrity. So that's what this Acts ministry is all about. Acts, an acronym for active compassion through service. It should be just something that we ordinarily do. I mean, it started as a program but it's really a series of relationships. And we want to bring change into people's lives. So, you know, we are working with people who are neglected, homeless, addicted, people who are perhaps throwaway parents in nursing homes, people who are in prison, youth who are in juvenile detention, and also working with some of our leaders so that the gospel can transform these lives. Just as the gospel has transformed all of our lives. I mean, I was saved in an inner city church through people who looked like they didn't have anything. And they showed me the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and made me hungry for that. Well, that's how our lives should be, that we should really integrate wholly the fact that we have been bought with a price, and that we, because God owns our gifts and talents and time, that we should just use them for his glory and his honor. And then, you know, ministry is just fun. It's, you know, the way it's supposed to be, I think. So please pick one of these up. We were gifted with money for a website last year, and I encourage you to go to 10th.compassion.org and find out a lot more about all of our ministries and some of the people who are working with us. We've got about 300 volunteer staff working, and it's not enough. Yeah, Michelle. How have we partnered with other churches? One of the things that we do is encourage them to volunteer with us so that they get hands-on training and then going back to their own congregations, being able to start similar ministries. Whether it's urban or suburban, the needs perhaps are more visible in the city, and people wear better and bigger masks in the suburbs and hide their hurts. I mean, we're all like that. That's what pride does. Take the second Sunday banquet for our homeless neighbors, which is just like a restaurant, except the guests are our homeless and poor neighbors, and the hosts at the table are members of the church. All of the servers, we have 15-20 servers each time, are members of area youth groups. So it gives church teenagers from other churches an opportunity to get a vision of, you know, who homeless people are, and actually to engage in conversation with them in a safe place. And that's so important, because if we see any of our guests on the street, he or she is going to know that we treated them with integrity and respect. And there's going to be a unique relationship there. So that's one of the ways. Yes. Thanks. Okay, the question is, how do we balance ministry and doing too much and setting boundaries? If you don't set boundaries, you're going to burn out. I have a blog that has an article on setting limits, dealing mostly with con artists, people who are manipulative, it's on my blog, which is, I think it's davidsapple.blogspot.com. It's called Mercy Ministry News. It's also on compassion.10th. If you click on the links button, you'll get all sorts of links to articles, and that one is there. And also working with addicted persons. But everything you might ever want to know about setting limits. And it has what not to do, and then it has here's what you should be doing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, what's a boundary? It's a fence that protects you from going over, and it protects other people from coming. And what you want to do is make sure that that fence has a good gate with a lock on it. I mean, doesn't make any sense to have a really high fence and an open gate. Yeah, but thanks. I mean, it's really important when we're ministering to others to protect our own space and to see that not only are we giving, but we're receiving from the Lord and from others. I think in the first paragraph of that article, I say exactly that. Otherwise, you will burn out. Good question. Thanks. Okay, we have time for one more question. Yeah. That agency closed down, but because of the relationship that we established, members anyone, addicts, men and women, or gays and lesbians, don't feel, they feel welcome to come, because not only do they receive the gospel, but there's genuine friendship here. And we don't ask at the door, what is your sexual preference? But we don't turn anyone away if we find out that they are straight or gay or anything else. Or if a man shows up in a dress, you know, we will welcome this person just as much into our fellowship as anyone else. Interesting episode, and I'll close with this, is that several years ago I was welcoming people to Fellowship Bible Study, and it was, hi, so glad to see you, come on in, we're having a meal, and then after the study, and this transvestite comes in, he's the ugliest man I ever saw, wearing a dress and red high heels, and I cringed, and I didn't want to let him in. And God convicted me on the spot of my sin, of my judgment, saying, who does God want to be welcomed into the church but sinners? Oh, here was someone who was broadcasting his sin. But his need was just as great as mine. So, yeah, we don't turn anyone away. Everyone needs Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have not continued in that area. Yeah, thanks. Okay, thank you. I am available, as I mentioned, by email or anything else. Pick up a brochure and check us out.